But this can't be happening's new Substack site is What's With ICE's Camo and Assault Rifles, chronicles some of the madness going on down south. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, it's always my pleasure, of course. Now, Dave, we've talked often enough in the past about the increasingly fascist nature of American justice, but it still seems difficult to fathom watching it unfold in real fast time as we are right now. What do you think, Dave, it will take before Americans stand up and fight to preserve the republic?
Well, there are people who are doing it. And fairly successfully. I'm quite impressed with how people, including immigrants, with maybe green cards or, people who aren't undocumented but are documented, have visas and so on, and are at considerable risk, are challenging and an ordinary, native-born white Americans, too, are joining in chasing these guys out of town, and with some success. They certainly did it in Chicago, and I think they did it in LA too.
Yeah, you've got another article up at This Can't Be Happening too. This is from a few weeks ago, and it asks the question: is civil war next in America? And I wonder, is this what the Trump administration is trying to provoke? I mean, it just is so outrageous what they're doing that they seem intent on provoking a civil war. Am I getting into the tinfoil hat realm here by saying that?
No, I mean, I was struck by that, by the fact that he's taking these, he goes to somewhere like, say, Oregon, and he says, I want to send your Oregon National Guard troops into Portland, which is being destroyed by, Antifa attacks on, the place is being destroyed. It's a war zone. You know, he makes this stuff up. But then, the governor says, no, I don't want them being nationalized. And he gets a court that backs that, as they should. And so what he does is he has an end run. He gets California guardsmen or Texas guardsmen, even worse, to go to Oregon, whether the governor wants them or not. And because they're guards, the president, at least some judges think, and probably the Supreme Court thinks, that the president can declare an emergency and then nationalize the guard, and using them in America for a national emergency is something that he's allowed to do. It's just a question of whether it really is a national emergency. And of course it's not. It's not an invasion by drug gangs or something. But anyway, these bozos in right-wing bozos in the Supreme Court just are looking for an excuse to give him what he wants so far. So that's what he's doing. But yes, if you have red states that, are really liberal or even radical, and you're sending, right-wing guys in uniform in the guard in Texas, there's a potential there for conflict between two different politics and with guns. So yes, I think that has the potential.
Well, in your article, and again, it's What's With ICE's Camo and Assault Rifles, you talk a lot about the history of wearing uniforms and what uniforms indicate. We have been watching on our televisions American soldiery in uniforms in far-flung places for, a couple of decades at least, more than that. But now to see it coming home, I wonder, though, you didn't include, what's with the masks? I mean, we see this in like dictatorships where the police are all, wearing these balaclavas and keeping their identity secret. And we think, okay, well, maybe that makes sense
They do that here. The SWAT teams go in with masks, which is like in a lot of cities. And that's pretty appalling because really these are civil servants who are supposed to be protecting people, not hiding from them. But, there's this weird circle of influence that's happening. Be it like the SWAT teams are copying the military, and so they get these uniforms that look like the military, and the military, and then they wear masks, and then the military now comes in, or the pseudo military in the ICE come in, and they copy what the cops are doing, which is wearing masks when they go and do, a house raid or something like that. So it's the whole thing is really, like you said, it's third world, but it's America doing it. And but what got me about the camo thing is really crazy. First of all, we didn't have soldiers in camo in World War II, even in the jungle warfare, that they were fighting in the Philippines or in, Malaysia or Java or something. They just had brown uniforms or green uniforms. I don't know, I'm colorblind, but they didn't have camo. Now, since World War II, most of the wars that the US has been fighting have been in the global south, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Philippines, you name it. It's either been in jungles or it's been in deserts. And so they have these two sets of uniforms, depending on where you're sent, you get jungle camo or you get desert camo. And now the purpose of camo is supposed to be to hide the soldiers so they don't get shot at. Right? I mean, that's the whole idea. You're camouflaging yourself. But what ICE is doing is taking let's back up. Because all of America's soldiers now wear camo because that's where they all go. They don't fight in temperate zones. They fight in jungles and deserts. And so they have to wear this camo. And now, when you go to a military base, even in, a place like New York State, upstate, or, Connecticut, my home state, you see the soldiers walking around in camo. Sometimes it's desert camo, sometimes it's jungle camo, but neither one of those things exist anywhere except the Southwest United States. And so these guys just casually wear camo all the time. You see somebody get on the plane, in a uniform, and people get up and give them a seat. Well, what are they wearing? They're wearing camo on the plane. It's crazy. So what's happened is then that became sort of a fashion statement in the U.S. So you have people wearing camo leotards for doing their yoga practice and camo pants to go to the office, at camo underpants, camo bathing suits, it's just crazy. Kids' pajamas in camo. And so that is the fashion statement. But then what's happened next is that the ICE guys, they want to be soldiers and they want to be scary to the immigrants, most of whom are from the global south. And they see camo as U.S. interference in their own countries. And so now ICE wants to wear camo to terrorize them. And that's what's happening. So you see these ICE guys wearing camo. Well, what the hell? If you really want to stand out like a sore thumb in a city of the United States, wear camo, right? You just like, look, it's a soldier in camo. If they really wanted to hide and sneak up on the immigrants that they're going to nab, they should be wearing clothing that's maybe like a brick wall. It looks like a brick wall, so they can stand still in front of a brick wall and no one will see them. Or they should wear uniforms that look like garbage bags because the cities are always full of piles of garbage. But that's not what they're doing. They're wearing jungle camo or desert camo. This is really nuts. But that's what it is. It's they're trying to not hide. They're trying to strike terror into the hearts of these immigrants.
Well, and it's not just the immigrants. They're going after all kinds of people, and it seems all you have to do is have the wrong tone of skin to be a target. There's myriad accounts of American citizens who say, "Hey, look, I'm American." They have American accents. They're maybe black or Latino or whatever, but they just don't look the part, according to some of these guys that who might properly, more properly, be wearing white hoods. But as you say, that the idea is to terrorize, and now there's others taking up the uniform, as you described. This camo has been around for a long time. It's been adopted by the fashion industry, etc. There's guys pretending to be ICE going around and imitating these thuggish behaviors. And hey, it fits right in because these guys just seem to be thugs on the loose, hardly.
They're hiring thugs. They're hiring the Proud Boys. They're hiring, right wing, people who have a history of being in these crazy white right wing, gun nuts. And that's all you need to say you're in some, right wing organization like the Ku Klux Klan or something, and the ICE is happy to hire you off the, right off the street. The other thing, though, that strikes me is that these guys really are supposed to be grabbing as many people as they can. So they ought to be, wearing business suits and walking around, and then grab them, when they see them. But they're not. They're coming in with the camo, and then everybody runs and scatters, and they get the slow ones. They're, it's like they're like the wolves going after wounded caribou, and the healthy ones get away. So I think the whole thing is for show. It has to be. Because they're not doing it the way they would have to do it if they wanted to pick up thousands of people a day.
Well, and again, that begs the question of, is this part of a strategy to create a civil war, not like the South and the North of yore, but a new sort of civil war within the United States? Where, I mean, I'm just amazed that people haven't just, they see these guys roll up with no ID, wearing masks, armed to the teeth in Chicago and Los Angeles and other places. I'm surprised that there haven't been firefights.
Well, that's the next thing that'll probably happen because, I mean, if they're also going after white people, by the way, if you try to stop them from doing stuff now, and you're like a white person with BOKU ID on you, like, and by the way, we've spent over $1 billion or several billion dollars getting a national ID, and turning requiring every state that issues driver's licenses, because that's a state function, to have what's called real ID, so that there's a chip in your driver's license now. It has all your details, and you can fly on a plane domestically with your driver's license. You don't need to have a passport because the real ID is as good as a passport, maybe better. And so, if that's the case, then why is ICE not accepting those driver's licenses? Because they're refusing to accept when they pick somebody up who's, say, Hispanic and is talks with a Spanish accent, which many American citizens do, and then they show their driver's license. They say, "Well, what hospital were you born in?" Who the hell knows? I don't know what hospital I was born in. But they just act like that's not, how do I know that's you? Well, it's a real ID. They can get on a plane, they can walk through the TSA guys and get on a plane. So it's all BS. They're just picking them up. It's not, that's as good an idea as if they're walking around carrying their passport.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Dave Lindorf. Dave is an Izzy Award-winning investigative journalist, author, and founder of the web news site This Can't Be Happening. His book titles include This Can't Be Happening: Resisting the Disintegration of American Democracy, Marketplace Medicine, The Rise of the For-Profit Hospital Chains, Killing Time, an investigation into the death row case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. His latest is Spy for No Country, the story of Ted Hall, the teenage atomic spy who may have saved the world. We're speaking today in and around his latest article up at This Can't Be Happening, What's With ISIS Camo and Assault Rifles. Yeah, well, Dave, you say that these guys want to be, they're wannabe soldiers in some cases, and I'm sure that's true. But you also write in your article about the Einsatzgruppen of the Nazi era. Yeah. And these are guys that they're not actually soldiers, but paramilitary, and they have a particular function. And they're made up of people that might not look so dissimilar to the guys we see wearing death head bandanas and so forth running around right now, tattooed to the tits and aiming their rifles at whoever would take their photograph.
Yeah, these guys, I was interested to find out that the Einsatzgruppen were not soldiers. They were considered, paramilitaries. They were the guys that were originally the brown shirts before Hitler became chancellor. And then, they became his private army. And so the generals didn't even like them because a lot of the German generals were professionals and they wanted to follow the Geneva Conventions. They didn't want to do this shooting people in the street because they were Jewish, lining them up on the wall and, just executing them. And so these guys were happy to have that job, unpleasant job, fobbed off on these Einsatzgruppen guys who were happy to do it. And that's what we have with these thugs in ICE. So they're doing things that the army doesn't really want to do. There's a lot of complaints, from the National Guards people who say, I didn't really join this to do this kind of crap. We signed up because, they don't mention we signed up because we get extra pay and we get, better veterans benefits later. But they also say, what they do say is, we signed up to help people in national emergencies. That's what we do. We train to rescue people from blizzards, hunt for lost kids, stuff like that, that make them very popular in the community. They didn't want to do this crap. And so they have to get somebody else to do it, and they're getting these ICE thugs and Border Patrol thugs to do it, and they want to do it in these camo uniforms because they want to be soldiers. I love the image of the Einsatz soldiers as hyenas following the lion pride when they'd go on their hunt, and they would pick up the bones and pick the meat off after the lions were done. And that's kind of what these guys are.
Yeah, hyenas get a bad rap, I think. But I mean, these guys are going after prey that the lions wouldn't go after at all. As you describe, you've got a very disturbing photograph that accompanies your article.
Oh,
again.
My God.
What's with ISIS camo again. I've looked at it, I'm not sure, more times than I want to now, just in reading your article.
You and
it makes me kind of physically sick. And not only, it's a photograph of one of these, not soldiers, but these thugs preparing to shoot dead a woman holding a child. This is from 1942. But on the ground at his feet, there's a corpse as well. And this was something like a selfie of its day that some pal, I assume, took this picture and then sent it home, I don't know, as a souvenir, I suppose.
It may not have, let's give the guy credit. He might have been filming it as a war crime because he sent he sent it home to his family and it was intercepted, apparently. The history of that picture is it was intercepted in a post office in Poland on route to back to Germany and wound up in a collection that the pharmacist kept that developed it. And so it may have been somebody trying to send evidence of war crime, a soldier doing it. because not all the soldiers were Einsatzgruppen or Schutzstaffen. So that's a possibility. Or it could have been, like you said, their souvenirs from the front.
Yeah, well, we see that. Has there been cases down there now of members of ICE coming forward and spilling the beans and passing off photographs of their own that, meant to alert the more general public, as if it's still needed, of the abuses going on in their ranks, and that this is something that they don't, that's too much for them?
Yeah, these things are appalling. I just read about one guy who was a Mexican who came over here as a child with his parents illegally, across the Rio Grande, and he's like 30 something, and he's never gotten his citizenship because he didn't have a proper entry from Mexico. So he's made his way a life. He has a family, and he got into firefighting in the forest fires in the West Coast in Oregon because his mother was doing it. She was a single mom, and she actually got into the firefighters, and so he thought she was his hero, so he decided he wanted to do it. And at this point, he's a squad leader because he's so good at it. And so they're fighting a fire in Oregon in this some canyon and trying to keep it in the canyon and not to spread to the surrounding towns. And they saw a bunch of guys coming towards them and thought it was reinforcements. And it turned out to be ICE guys. And they arrested him and took him away. He's the leader. They took him away and deported him without, to another country, without a hearing. Because of something he'd done as a teenager, like shoplifting or something. That's what they're doing. This is just total madness.
We say only a fool fights in a burning house. Well, I don't know what that would be for in a burning forest. Dave, we're fast running out of time, but if we could switch gears a little bit and talk about what the Trump administration is doing offshore.
Oh, murdering fishermen.
This is, I mean, I don't want to jump into the ready analogy because it's so cliched now to compare Trump, whose bedside reading included fond notes and remembrances of der Fuhrer, but how is what's happening down there being received, what this government is doing? Or are people just turning a blind eye to this, going, oh, well, they were drug runners, and Venezuela is trying to invade America one drug boat at a time, albeit that it's thousands of miles away.
Usually like three or four guys in the boat, like that. Oh man. Yeah, that's really incredible. Yeah, and the amount of stuff they're carrying isn't very big in those boats either. I mean,
Well,
that's
nobody knows what they're carrying anyway, really, do they? And
yeah, exactly.
what drug smuggler has 10 people in a boat and in an open boat, thousands of miles from his destination and going in the opposite direction? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and they might be carrying fish.
Well, these extrajudicial executions, so this is clearly another case of America disregarding the international law and any morality even.
Hey, it's South America. We own South America. The Monroe Doctrine says that. Never mind that all the Monroe Doctrine is what one president said, that he declared it his doctrine that nobody could meddle around in Latin America except America. And that's not a law. That's not an act. It's not justified by any international law. It's just, we don't own Latin America, but that's we always say, oh, it's the Monroe Doctrine. We go down there and we throw out, your leader because we don't like them, and we install a junta. That's the Monroe Doctrine. And now the Monroe Doctrine is, if you're in a boat and it's going too fast, we'll shoot you and sink you, and no questions asked.
Well, there are questions being asked outside of the country. And now the Gerald S. Ford, I believe the initial is, carrier group is down there off of Venezuela,
Three
poised,
carriers.
well, all poised and ready. I mean, the Ford is probably the worst choice of presidential name for a vessel with two nuclear reactors on board. But what do you, in the final minute we have, Dave, what's your opinion
Well, I
of
did a
what?
story back in I think 2004 during the Kerry Bush campaign. Second, it was the second Bush campaign. There were I got a call from somebody that I knew who was in the Navy, and he was on a posted to a aircraft carrier, and it had been in dry dock at Newport News. Getting refueled, I guess, and stuff. And he contacted me and he said, the ship has been sped up to be released for duty at sea in a hurry. And we're shipping out now. And I thought you should know because, we're headed for the Persian Gulf. And they're talking about, a invasion of Iran. And I called up Ray McGovern to ask him about this. And Ray said, well, he said, I've noticed that there's three, th this, if you're right about this aircraft carrier shipping out, that would make three aircraft carriers around Iran in the Persian Gulf and in what's it called, the Arabian Sea. And he said that's the sign that there's going to be an invasion because they don't like to concentrate three of their aircraft carriers in one region. The most they ever do is two. Three means that they're planning an invasion. So I wrote that, and I wrote that story. And they also said it's timed for what do you call it? When the moon's blacked out, not an eclipse, but when it's
A new moon.
a new moon. Yeah, they like to do invasions in a new moon when it's dark and it's harder for for the country to tell what's going on in the nighttime when the attack happens. And they were set to be there at the new moon. So, it all looked like an invasion was it was happening. And then, and I don't think I could take credit for getting it called off, but I did publish that article. I think I did it in Counterpunch, and it certainly gave away the show that was happening. And the call I got was from somebody who said this is, hush hush that the ship's leaving. Of course, somebody could be watching the ships to see what's it's hard to sneak an aircraft carrier
Yeah,
out to sea.
that would
But
have to be a pretty dark moon to disguise this, from especially in such a concentrated area. Dave, we're fast out of time. Dave's work can be found at thiscan'tbehappening.substack.com. Go there and check out his latest article, "What's with ICE's Camo and Assault Rifles," and his other work there. Thanks a lot, Dave, for coming on again and bringing us up to speed with this. And thanks too to Ingmar Lee. Sorry about the brief exit there, Ingmar. I don't know what happened there, but Dave, talking to my previous guest, he was just said, "Oh, the killer is," and then plump. But you can catch his Ingmar stuff up at 10,000 Ton Tanker on Facebook. He's got stories about what we talked about, this running aground of this barge. Thanks again, Dave, and that's all I've got for this week. Until the next time.
Okay, so long, Chris. When I look around, what I see is a class war zone. The big man on the TV says the future is at stake, so we cut taxes on the rich and then we take. Before the president became the chairman of the board, it was bad before, as recent history has shown. But now it's even worse here in this class war zone.
Big man on the TV says we'll make America great. We'll implement this program, none of which can wait. He can arrest whoever he wants to and call us terrorists so they can get a grip on all this violence. Flying from the frying pan straight into the unknown. Directed by the big man. Here is his clear.
Speak up.